last few weeks I've been reading this book called Faith. And the way it came about, it's a very small book, very simple, big print. And in essence, what it does is it just goes into Scripture and it pulls out different Scripture verses. There's one per paragraph, and it gives people's testimonies and witnesses as to what God has done for them. And it asks you questions such as that, you know, if you believe the Scripture, if you believe that these verses are from the Scripture, and if you believe that what God says is true, why don't you act like it? Really, that's about all it says. It's kind of a hold accountable book. You know, has anybody else ever seen this book before?
This is Yonker.
Bob Bussey.
Yes,
you see.
What's the name of it?
It's called Favor, the Road to Success, How to Receive Special Favor with God and People.
I was at one of the seminars.
Excuse me?
He came to Pensacola, I heard him.
Well, I was having lunch with a guy, and we were having lunch at O'Charlie's, and we were talking just about the Lord. And when we left, we were standing out in front of the door, and I had made some comment about having a meeting with someone. And the individual said, well, Tony, he says you need to pray for favor with those people. And another word for favor is what?
Grace.
And throughout Scripture, the Lord tells you that He has abundant grace. We can all agree with that. In fact, more than we could ever, certainly more than we deserve, and certainly more than we could ever use up. And so I said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, I've been reading this little book, and he was the one who recommended the book. He says, I've been reading this little book, and I've been applying what it says. He says, but the thing that you need to understand is, when you read Scripture, you really need to believe what the Scripture says. Because if you don't believe it, it's of no value. It's worthless. So I went and I bought the book. And then I didn't read it. And one thing that many of you probably don't know, my wife is Catholic. She's a very devout Catholic. And she's in Mass every day of the week except for Saturday. And she really does not express her faith like the Lord has brought me to express mine. She really doesn't talk about it. According to Catholics, it's something very private. Is that correct, Mary?
No. But
well, anyway, that's what I was
told.
Something very mysterious.
Well, I don't know about that. They just told
to most Catholics, it is very private. They're not evangelical, as you would say. You know.
But anyway, I took the book and she normally sits on the couch and she reads every night, and I just took the book and left it by the couch and asked the Lord would see for her to read it. Well, she did read it, and she's a very avid reader in the respect that it takes her very little time. She'll read something in 30 minutes or an hour, and she consumes it. And she made very positive comments about it, which really surprised me because I had looked through the book a little bit. And especially the testimonies in it are talking about missionaries that have gone to borders and were trying to cross the borders and prayed, and the Lord saw fit for them to get across them. And just people that were looking for jobs and had no confidence, and they would talk with the pastor, and the pastor would say, well, you know, God says this, and if you will apply this principle, God will hear you. Your prayers will be answered if you have faith to believe what you ask for. Well, anyway, I started reading the book, and in reading the book, what I would do is I would read, I'd get to a scripture, I'd read the scripture, I've got a little computer that has the Hebrew and Greek dictionary and all on it. And I would look up the scripture and the verses that were around the scripture to see the context in which that scripture was used. And I would look up the different words and if they were Old Testament or New Testament or whatever. And I've learned several things in this, but it really all boils down to, do we really believe what God says? And if we believe what God says, are we going to act on what He says? I mean, that's in essence what the book says. And the book is just referring strictly to Scripture. Well, today I had lunch with a geotechnical engineer. And he's a young guy, about 40, maybe 38, 40 years old. And we were sitting in Applebee's eating, and after we had finished our meal, we just started talking, and I brought up about he had asked me about projects and how things were going, and I was telling him how I was blessed. And And his comment was, he says, well, you know, I feel like I'm very successful at what I do, and he admits to being a Christian. And, he said, you know, I can see where I succeed, and when I need help, I ask God for help, and, you know, he may respond in a way, or he may not respond in a way, because you would never know what his will is. And I asked him, I said, well, you know, how often do you really pray for what you do? He says, well, when I get in trouble, I said, well, why don't you pray before you get in trouble? And he says, what do you mean? I said, well, you know, when you read Scripture, God says in Scripture that he's the vine and we're the branches. And right off the bat, I mean, he tells you, you can't do anything. And nobody likes to hear that. And then not further on down in Scripture, he says, but you can do all things through me. So, you know, we either believe that we can't do anything, or we believe that we can believe that we can do all things, or we believe that's a typo, or God was just joking. Mm. And when we talk more about this, his comment was, he said, well, you know, you seem like everything is going in your favor, and you've got lots of opportunities, and the projects that you're working are prospering and all like this. I said, well, let me tell you when that really started happening. And this is what I'm finding out, because I look back over how things have progressed in my life relative to work and learning more about Scripture and paying attention to what the Lord says, and when I screw up, immediately asking for forgiveness and not dragging the guilt around with me, just going on about business. And things really started changing. Because, and I say, I don't know about women, but I know about most men. Most men have a lot of pride in what they do. They feel like that they're sufficient, that they're able to do many things. And it's because of the effort that they put in, the results that they see are due to the efforts that they put in. Well, the thing that I've learned is that no matter what level of effort I put in, you're only successful if God allows you to be successful. And the way that I have seen God bless me as compared to what I perceived was success before was that when I really started taking less and less credit for something somebody else was doing, in this case, somebody was God, when I started taking less credit for that is when I started seeing God just, I mean, the floodgates would open up. There would be nothing that I would lay my hands to that did not prosper. And the more that I would tell people how the prosperity occurred, the more it would prosper. I'll give you an example. After talking to this guy at lunch, and I'll get back to him in a minute, I went back to the office, and I had received a call from a man that is the publisher for Builder and Architects magazine. And I just left them. And he said, Tony, he says, I read an article about you in Power and Motor Yachting. He says, it's called Head Honcho. I said, it's called what? He said, Head Honcho. And he says, it refers to you. And the article was written by a technical editor about a marine system that we've got a patent on. And the magazine's finally come out, and it turned out to be a real good article. And he says, I've got a boat that I'm going to repower, and he says, I'd like to know if you'd be interested in putting that system on my boat. It's a 50-foot boat. We're down at the Palafox Pier. And he says, it's the one that has Builder and Architect magazine on the side. He says, it's our office. So he says, my wife and I run this, and this is our office. And I was familiar with the boat because I've walked past it many times. And we started talking a little bit more and more. And I mentioned the Lord's name, but he didn't really seem to pick up on it. But anyway, that was yesterday when I spoke to him. And today I had some time. I said, well, I'm going to be going in that direction. I called him, and I said, I'm going to drop in and see you and talk to you about this. So I did, and when I got there, he was a very amenable fellow, just a very pleasant, showed me around his boat, all like this, and we talked about the marine system and all. And then we ended up on the back deck, just sitting in some chairs, talking about things, and he started asking questions about how the system became to be. And when he started asking those questions, I started praying. I said, God, I said, give me an opportunity to bring your name up to him and give me something that will be of interest to him that will involve you in that conversation. And the man's wife came out and sat beside us, and we started talking, And I told him about the way the patent came about, and I told him about arguing with God in the truck. And I told him about the Lord giving me the verse, give thanks in all things, even when things are going to heck in a handbasket, you're supposed to give thanks to about all things. And he didn't seem to pick up on it, but his wife picked up on it. And then she started asking more questions. And the next thing I knew, there was a marine architect that walked by. And they're talking, they know everybody at the marina. You know, it's kind of like a little family. And he walks by and goes on to his boat. And we talk a little bit more, and I bring up a statement. I said, do you realize? I said, you probably don't realize this. And I said, you may think I'm nuts. I said, but when I would get to a situation with a patent that I would have difficulty with, I'd stop and I'd say, God, what do you want me to do with this thing now? Which direction should I go? Because this thing doesn't seem to be working. And a thought would come to mind. And I'd go that way, and it would work. And then I'd come into another head wall, and it wouldn't do what it was supposed to do. And I'd go back and say, God, you know, how am I supposed to fix this? And another thought would come, and I'd go, I mean, it was just like this, and it was just like he was giving me direction as to what I should be doing. Because a lot of the things that ended up in this patent were things that other people had tried but would not work for one reason or another. But they work now. And we started talking about other systems that had been worked on, and I started bringing up the fact that when I would meet clients, I didn't used to do this, but in the past year or so, when I meet clients, I tell them up front that I'm going to pray for your work, and I would recommend that you pray for your work, and God's going to do what's best for us if we believe that all things work for the good of those that love the Lord and are called His purpose. And there's been more boldness that the Lord has given me relative to speaking to people that I don't know about God. And I think one reason for that is it really doesn't matter what other people think anymore. It matters what God thinks.
Amen.
And the thing that I'm able to see now is that every time, without exception, that I have brought the Lord into a conversation and have spoken more about the Lord, before I would leave, there would be an additional blessing that came. And I'm not saying that one should be doing this in order to receive the blessings. I'm just saying that is a spinoff of doing it. It comes. Because God is true to His Word. You know, He says He will bless you, that He will prosper you, that He will give you peace, that He will give you joy. And the thing that I'm seeing is, sometimes He gives that immediately. Now, if you noticed, I have not blown my nose since I've started talking. Okay, my nose doesn't run. My sinuses are clear enough. My eyes aren't watering. I'm having no difficulty breathing through my nose. But when I came here, and I do owe you a box of Kleenex because I just about consumed it. But when I came here and Kurt and David prayed for me relative to my sinuses and my nose, I mean, I was having a lot of difficulty. I mean, every 15 seconds I was blowing and wiping and hacking and blowing and wiping and hacking. And now I'm not.
Right.
I mean, I really was. And so in less than, we're looking at maybe 30, 40 minutes, the Lord has taken away the situation that was approaching. I mean, that was all.
Even when you first started talking, your voice was real deep, as if your senses were congested, and that was a repercussion of that. As you've gone on, your voice has cleared up.
Well, I mean, I feel just like I normally feel, I mean, which is good. But before that, the more in the conversation that the Lord's name was brought up, the man's father came. This older gentleman must have been 65, 70 years old. And he sat down on the back deck and was listening, and I started talking more about the Lord in respect to praying over projects and praying for clients. And this old man started talking. He said, well, you know, I'd like to hear that. He says, you know, we need to bring the Lord. You know, he was really getting into this conversation. Now, this other guy sitting in his chair wasn't saying much. He was just kind of sitting out here, and he was the publisher for this magazine. And the next thing I know, this marine architect walks up with his wife, and this guy jumps up and says, well, let me introduce you to such and such. And this is the article that was written about him in the paper and all like this. And the marine architect is saying, well, you know, we could use these things on the 48-foot Hatteras I'm working on now, and the other, I mean, just one boat after another boat that he's got right there that he wanted, okay? And he says, come by and see me next week. He says, I'd like to talk to you about these things. And then even before that conversation ended, the wife says, well, would you be willing to write an article on the other alternative systems in April? Well, all that does is get you more exposure for more business. And then the next thing is the man says, well, we'll consider running a news release on the other patent, the Tyvek. I mean, within a time frame of 45 minutes to an hour, I got free advertising in a magazine on another product that we weren't even talking about. I got asked to come and meet with somebody about the possibility of putting marine systems on 3 motor yachts. I got asked to do an article on a completely different area. And I say this because it happens every time. It never ceases to fail. When I bring the Lord up, or when the Lord brings himself up through me to other people, that meeting is blessed. And it many times it's blessed, really, financially, or it's always blessed in a situation that there's good feelings, there's edification, there's peace and comfort and enthusiasm when we leave. And when I was going through the book, I wrote down these scriptures, and this is what I'd like for you to just to look up some of these things. If you think about it, how big is God? God is as big as we choose God to be. Because if we choose to believe that this is a book that we can only have confidence in from, Matthew to Revelations, he's only this big. If we choose to believe that we can have confidence in what he said from the beginning to the end, then he's infinite. He has no limits. We're the one that puts all the limits on God. And like in John 14, 9 through 14. Look that up for me, Kurt. And read it out loud.
John 14,
9 through 14.
Jesus saith unto them, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me? Philip, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it.
When I was talking to that man today at lunch, that young man, and he was telling me about the things that he was able to do, and how he had succeeded because of his level of effort. And he is a Christian man, but he really doesn't have much knowledge of Scripture. But he does believe in Christ. And I asked him a question. I said, if you were to look at a Scripture that says you can do nothing without, and it's in Scripture, and you can turn to the page and you can see who said it and you can read it, do you believe it or not? And he says, well, yeah, I believe. I said, and then you turn to the Scripture that says all things are possible through Christ. Do you believe that Scripture? He says, yeah. I said, well, then why are you taking credit for something that God's done? And he says, what do you mean? I said, well, God just said that you can do nothing without him. But yet you're telling me that you only call on him when you have difficulty. And he says, well, I've never thought of it that way. And I said, well, if you believe one Scripture and you say you believe the other Scripture, then why would you not want to give God the credit for everything that occurs in your life? And he said, well, I'm not comfortable with that idea. I said, okay, let me give you an example. If you have faith in some things. And I said, what do you have faith in? Well, he had faith in being paid, and he had faith that his wife wasn't going to cheat on him, and he had faith in things like that. And I said, well, can you not have faith in Christ for everything that Christ says in this book? He says, well, Tony, I'm just not comfortable with that idea. I said, well, how do you get comfortable with something? He said, well, I don't know. I said, well, I'll tell you how you get comfortable with something. You start with something real small or something that's easy, and you apply it. I said, when you first started doing engineering calculations, they were difficult, they were confusing, you really didn't understand how to do it. And now, to do a piling calculation for a multi-story building, it's not a big deal. Why? Because you've practiced it hundreds of times. You've done it hundreds of times. And you've seen that if you do this, you can expect this, so you're comfortable, and you have faith in it. Right? He said, well, yeah. I said, well, why don't you just pick something small, and apply faith as Scripture says to apply it, and see what God will do. I said, because you have been given the same or at least a measure of faith just like any other believer. And this measure of faith, if you don't use it, is going to be of no value to you. Just like if you have money in your wallet, but you never take it out of your pocket to spend. It has no value. I mean, if it always stays in your pocket, like faith that's not used, then it too has no value. It only has value when you give it away and you get something in return. And we talked a little bit more, and he agreed that what he needed to do was to start on a smaller basis and see some evidence and then have faith on a larger basis. And the thing that keeps coming to my mind is we really need to practice with God. I mean, we really need to apply what we read. When we read it, we need to look for opportunities to apply it. And if we do, God will be faithful and provide results in order that we can brag on God to other people. I mean, that's what we're supposed to be doing, is bragging on Him and taking no credit for what we do, because we really aren't doing anything. But this is just the thing that I've come to realize in the past, really in the past year, and it's become so evident to me that the more that I brag on God to people, to every person that I come in contact with, the more God gives me strength and faith, or strengthens my faith, and the more that I see God doing when I pray in faith. I mean, just speaking to this morning, I had a phone conversation from an individual, and we were talking about healing, and the individual has a son that is slow and retarded, and after conversations with him about this, he had more faith. At least he sure acted like it, and he was certainly willing to pray and expect to do something. I'm just telling you what I've been seeing God do in my life, and the reason that I believe He does it is because the faith that He's given me is applied to things. And you know, it was like, it certainly would have been extremely easy just to assume one had a cold, go and take medicine, and let the cold pass. But at this point in my life, I'm not satisfied with that. I really would like to see God work again by asking Him, seeing Him work. So tomorrow, when I can talk to somebody, I say, well, yeah, you know what happened? A cold was coming on. I met with two men. I asked them to pray for me. They laid hands on me. We prayed. And 5 minutes later, it was gone. I mean, to me, that's neat. It's a lot more neater than taking aspirin and medicines and everything else. Why? Because the only person that can receive credit for that is God Almighty. That's the neat thing. And I have all the confidence in the world that the more people I tell just about the cold thing, that God is going to benefit me and bless me in other ways. But anyway, you know, I've been going through the book, and I've come up with these verses out of the book, and a lot of the things that I I wrote this question, and I even forget why I wrote it down. It says, what are the attributes? Oh, I don't know what it was. I was writing this at the time. I had been praying about it. I said, God, what do you want me to get out of this book? And the title that he gave, this is what he gave me Sunday before I really ever decided to pursue anything else. The question was, how great is your Lord? It's kind of like he was talking to me. Tony, how great am I to you? And then, you know, you look up the definition of what Lord is, and it says he's a creator, he's a sustainer of all, who has revealed himself through his Son, Jesus Christ, and the world he created. And then he goes on into John 14, 9 through 14. And then he talks about the attribute of the Lord. What are the attributes of your God? And the attribute is an inherent characteristic of a being, something that is internal. And is it just defines that being. You know, and if you start looking up the attributes of God, they're really neat. You know, it says he's a spirit, he can't be measured. That's John 14:24. He is changeless, Hebrews 1:12. He's no different from one time to another. And when you bring that up to somebody, you know, when they tell you, well, you know, he healed people in the Old Testament, but he doesn't do it now. And you say, well, wait a minute, that's really not true, because he says he doesn't change. And Tuesday night, I was supposed to be having a cold, and 45 minutes later, I didn't have a cold. So no medicine was taken. And the people sitting around me saw me blowing my nose through a half a box of Kleenex, and then it was gone. Why? Because we prayed and agreed for it and believed it. And then he is all powerful. That's Genesis 17, 1, 18 and 14, and Isaiah 40, 27 and 31. And when you think about all powerful, you know, that is every, in other words, nothing is impossible. And that is a difficult concept to understand, that anything is possible with God. I can't even visualize anything or all things. But anyway, these are just thoughts that came to mind. And that's it. Hopefully you got something out of what God was telling me, or at least bringing me to see.
And that all-powerful God said, all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. He certainly wants to back that up, doesn't he?
He does, and ever since I have started believing that, I have yet to see him fail. In nothing has he failed. And that's a neat thing. The guy was asking me when we were praying at the table, he said, well, how do you know God's will? I said, well, how do you not know God's will if you're reading his scripture? And I think you smell my dog. that right here, that tickles.
You might start sneezing.
No, I don't think it was.
He thinks it's
Jesus.
That's a smart kitty cat.
But I asked him, I said, well, what are you going to be praying for? Are you going to be praying that you take something away from somebody else? Are you going to be praying that, you know, you have an affair, you know, be unfaithful to your wife? I mean, do you have any doubt that that's probably not God's will? Well, no, I'd agree with you. That's probably not God's will. Well, if you pray for somebody else's salvation, or you pray that God receives the glory from the action that's occurring, or you pray that both parties benefit and come closer to the Lord, would you think that would be God's will or not God's will? Well, I think that would be God's will. Then why are you confused as to what God's will is? Pray what you would think God would want you to pray.
If you have any questions about it.
Ask him.
If you have any questions about it, talk with him in the morning by reading his word.
Well,
that's the word of God.
Fire to come down from out of heaven and consume 50 men. That sounds sort of bold.
It sure is.
The danger.
But I think he was kind of given directions by the Lord, wasn't it, to do that? He didn't just come up with it on his own, did he?
Yep, that's right.
The danger is
that's
going to
kill him.
Well, no, but the Lord had given him directions to pray for fire to come down, didn't he?
Yes.
Well, he didn't just say, well, I think I'm going to go barbecue 50 guys today.
No.
Well, the point is, he knew that point I was trying to make is the same thing you've been trying to make. He had a lot of practice in God's wisdom already before he came to that place. He had already tried God, and God had answered his prayers.
Well,
I'm just agreeing with what you've been saying.
And also too, he said, "Where's your God?"
We can know God's will, but
it was also wasn't to show off or anything. It was a competition. Who's God's who?
If God, I be a man of God, then if I come down.
That's right. God, he gets glory. He's going to be exalted, and God got glory for himself.
Yesterday, my assistant, secretarial assistant, asked. She said, "Well, you know, I've got to run my daughter to the doctor for this." And she has another little baby, and he had to go to the doctor the previous day. And she was saying her husband was in the hospital because of a diabetic reaction. And I mean, they're back and forth to doctors every other day, just continuously. And I know how much the girl makes, and I don't know how much the husband makes, but I know it's got to be a financial drain home. And she admits to being a Christian. And I just asked her. Nobody else was in the office except for her. And I said, Deidre, I said, "Why do you run back and forth to the doctors all the time?" She said, "Well, everybody's sick." I said, "Well, why don't you pray and ask God to heal these people?" She said, and she kind of looked at me like, "Well, what do you mean?" And I said, "Well, you know, in Scripture, God gives us authority and he gives us power according to the faith that we have in his word. And if you believe that, then you can pray for these things and God will answer." I said, "Have you ever tried that, as her to run to a doctor?" And she said, "Well, no." She said, I don't really know if I could do that." And I said, "Well, you just go down the list. Do you believe? Is Christ your Savior? Yes or no? If it's no, then don't go any further. I mean, if he's not, don't waste your time. If he is, okay. Do you believe what you're reading? Yeah. Do you believe that he healed people? Just by speaking it? Yeah. Do you believe that he will heal you by speaking it? Well, that gets more iffy. You know, I don't know if he's going to heal me, and I know he healed the other guy because he liked him better. I don't know. But, you know, when you start asking these questions, they're real logical answers to the questions. Either you believe it or you don't believe it. And if you don't believe it, you don't need to go any further. And if you do believe it, then you need to apply it. You just need to do it. And I really thank God for bringing Ray and Dave into my life relative to, say, you know, what's keeping you back from just practicing what you're reading? And there's really nothing that keeps you back except you. I mean, you're the only one. And that gets back to how big of a limit we're going to put on God. Do we want him to be this big, or infinitely big? And to be honest with you, it's a lot better to have a God that's completely, that's infinitely big, because you're completely comfortable with saying that all things are possible.
Amen. And just what you were saying a minute ago is that God wants us to do this for his glory. It's not just for our selfish purposes. He said, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will, it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so shall you be my disciples." The Father wants us to do this for him, so that he's glorified, so that people believe, so that people see and believe. And, you know, I've often thought about all those people that Jesus prayed for and healed and cast out devils and provided for and did all those things. None of those people were worthy people. I mean, they were stiff-necked Jews. And he told about the unclean spirit that was gone out of the person and came back checking out his house, and his house was empty and swept and garnished and comfortable for the demon to come back, and the demon came back, and he said, that's what this generation is like. All those people that he did all those good things for, that God got the credit for and God got the glory for, they weren't worthy of it. They didn't continue in the faith, and they didn't continue in discipleship, and they lost it. Okay? But still God got the glory. And we think sometimes, well, maybe if they're not worthy, they won't get it. But really, the Lord wants us to do it for God's glory. Uh-huh. You know, He wants the world to know that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He wants us, like Tony's saying, give credit to the Lord constantly. That's what the word praise means, you know. It means to brag about the Lord. Brag about him to everybody. Mm-hmm. When you're bold enough to act on what the Word says in front of other people, that's when you see miracles. I mean, that's when you can really prove that you believe what that book says. And he said, if you confess me before men, I'm going to confess you before the Father and before the angels. And we get plenty of opportunity to act on what this book says, just like Tony was saying about what the man's point was of receiving favor from God. We get plenty of opportunities to act on what this book says in front of other people, to say what this book says, to step out on a limb, so to speak, to where if God didn't answer, you'd look foolish, you know. That's when you get to see a miracle, when you're confessing him before men.
But he does answer.
And he does answer. He's not going to let you look foolish. He'll never let you be put to shame, what Romans chapter 10 says. He will not allow you to be put to shame, the Bible says.
The first time I ever prayed for anybody in my business, I was sort of scared to death in a way, but this lady had come in, and we were talking. She was a Christian, she said, and she was in my shampoo bowl, and most of the time, once they get down in there, it's a little hard to get them out because they're already in there.
Captive audience.
And she was talking about visiting her niece and that she was just clogged in her bronchial tubes and she couldn't breathe, and she definitely couldn't go outside where most people went out and sat around their pool, and you know, that's where they had their evening out there, and she couldn't do that because of the humidity and all this stuff, and it was in the summertime. And I said, well, would you mind if we prayed for you? And she looked at me sort of shocked, but she said no. I guess I was sort of embarrassed, you know, she had to say yes, I guess. Well, there was a lady that was, this was when I was up on Fairfield, and I was sharing the building with a seamstress, and she had a worker that was a Christian. And there had been a Christian man that had just walked in that I knew that had been from my church. So that made me and those two, which made, you know, so I asked her if she believed that God would heal her. And she said, yeah. And so we laid hands on her and prayed for her. Well, that was on Monday, I think it was. And she was visiting from a northern state, I don't know where. But Wednesday, she came back through. And she was a fairly big lady. I'm sure she was at least close to 6 foot. And just, she was in her late 70s or almost early 80s. She was an elderly lady. And she came bouncing in there, weighing about 200 pounds. And you know, I mean, she bounced. She's just sort of floated across the floor. I mean, I just remember her appearance. And she says, Kurt, she says, I want to tell you, she says, I've come all the way across the, however many states she's come across. And she says, I've stopped at different places along the way, you know, and had my hair done. And she says, this is the first place I've ever had anybody pray over me. And she says, I have slept like a baby, which she hadn't been able to sleep prior to that. She would wake up coughing and sneezing and just trying to get a breath. And she says, I've sat out by the pool and been with my family and enjoyed it. And she says, and that just really thrills me to know that God would answer that prayer to a stranger. And ever since then, that's been about, I guess, 5 years ago. So ever since then, I've been a little more bolder to just say, well, can we pray about it? And I prayed for a lady in my shop the other day that was just going through a tremendous trial, and it edifies you that they'll allow you to do that, and it glorifies God, and I've just really appreciated that. I don't think I would have had the boldness, you know, it's been coming through the Bible study here that, you know, I've really been pointed out a lot of scriptures to step out in faith on a lot of different things. And I've just seen a lot of miracles take place in these last 5 or 6 years I've been coming, and I've really appreciated that.
Well, Ms. Levi, these are just small miracles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, Romans 4:20 said while you were speaking, again, looking into the promise of God, he wavered not through unbelief, but waxed strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that what he has promised, he was able to perform.
What's the address of that?
Romans 4:20. That what God has promised, all my personal life and family, what he has promised, he is able to perform. Wherefore, it was also reckoned to him for righteousness. It was not written for his sake alone that it was reckoned to him, but for our sake also unto him it shall be reckoned, who believe on him that raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered up for our trespasses and was raised for our justification. Being therefore justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we had our access by faith unto his grace, wherein we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we have rejoiced in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh steadfastness approvedness, and approvedness hope, and hope putteth not to shame, because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which was given unto us.
So we're justified by faith, and we have access by that faith into the grace wherein we stand. Mm-hmm. And in the text you read the story about how Abraham and Sarah were able to have the child that they wanted from the Lord, even though it was totally impossible by sight. But yet they had access to the grace of God to give them what they needed through their faith. And they were justified by that faith. They were accounted as righteous. That's what justified means, accounted as righteous because of that faith. And a lot of people, a lot of Christians even, in the situation where they're in need, are not accounted righteous because they don't speak that faith and they don't act on that faith. I'm not saying they're missing God in every other part of their life, but at least in that point, they're not accessing the grace because they're not acting on the faith, and they're not accounted righteous. And chapter 3 says, in verse 3 says, let God be found true and every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy words, accounted righteous in thy words, and mightest prevail when thou comest into judgment. A lot of people don't prevail when they come into judgment. Sometimes we come into judgment not prevailing because we're not accounted as righteous by God, because we're not acting upon our faith. We don't act like we believe this book. With our mouth we say we believe it. With our mind we know we believe it. But we don't. But faith without works is dead in itself, the Bible says. It's unfruitful. The word there is unfruitful. It's unfruitful.
What scripture were you just reading?
Oh, that was Romans 3 and 4.
And where were you?
Romans 3, 3 and 4.
The Lord gave me Romans 4, starting with verse 20 about the promise. They've labored not through unbelief, but waxed strong in faith, giving glory to God. But what is he fully assured that what God has promised, he's able to perform. And I was just resting in that, because I've had a lot of promises from my family, my children, my boys. This is really just a comfort. Just standing on the promises of God, and those promises saying, standing on the promises of the Franklin Savior.
You know, a lot of people, they get praised for by people, but they never act with their mouth or with their actions. But you notice when Jesus prayed for people, he expected some kind of action, even before he prayed out of these people, that would confirm their faith before he would do the miracle. And the Bible says in James 2 and 14, it says, what does it profit? What does it profit, my brethren, if a man says he has faith, but he doesn't have works? Can that faith save him? And obviously in the text, he's saying, no, that faith won't save you. Just faith in your mind won't save you. It has to come out in your words. It has to come out in your actions. It has to come out in your feet. It has to come out somewhere. It has to be manifested somewhere. In other words, you have to have a proving of your faith, James chapter 1 calls it. The proving of your faith. Okay? In other words, your faith has to be proven. Where does it have to be proven? It has to be proven in front of men. God knows what you believe in your mind.